From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, we begin with the news and stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
This is Ania Sana with the news first, the headlines. Indonesian president vows to fulfill the rights of people with disabilities. As a member of International Maritime Organization, IMO Council, Indonesia can voice the interests of other countries. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has made assurance of the human rights of the disabled in Indonesia being fulfilled. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Presidential Special Staff for the Social Sector Angki Yudhistia on Monday remarked that President Joko Widodo spoke of a shift in the state paradigm for citizens with disabilities from charity-based to human rights-based. She noted from the side of the law and its derivative products, it is very clear that the paradigm of fulfilling human rights for citizens with disabilities is not just a rhetoric. She explained that article by article stipulated in Law No. 8 of 2016 clearly and expressly highlights that disabled people have the same rights as their non-disabled counterparts, based on the principle of non-discrimination. The two governmental regulations are Government Regulation No. 52 of 2019 on social welfare for persons with disabilities and Government Regulation No. 70 of 2019 on planning, implementing, and evaluating efforts, respect, protection, and fulfillment of the rights of persons with disabilities. As a member of C category of Executive Council at the International Maritime Organization IMO for the 2020-2021 period, Indonesia can propose norms of shipping safety in trade. In addition, Indonesia can represent other countries which do not include at the IMO Executive Council in terms of shipping security. It was said by Director General of Multilateral Cooperation at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Febrian E. Rudyat, after the United Nations Day commemoration on Monday, December 2nd at the Jakarta National Library.
Banyak kemarin, kalau nggak salah, ada beberapa hal nih mengenai IMO. Yang pertama,
there are several things about IMO. Firstly, about shipping safety. Being a member of the IMO Executive Council of C category, we can be more involved in developing shipping safety norms in trade. We also inject about the issue of sustainable development. The environment is also the issue of women empowerment in shipping issues. We are included in the C category because although we are not a country which dominantly in the shipping sector, service providers and users, we have a large maritime area where international sea traffic is certainly being a concern. Since including in the council, we can do much more. Secondly, we can represent other countries outside the council to channel their concerns on shipping issues. Furthermore, Indonesia had been elected as a member of the International Maritime Organization IMO Council at the elections in Assembly, London, the United Kingdom on November 30th. Moreover, the Indonesian Supreme Audit Board, BPK, also elected as an external member of the IMO auditor for the 2020-2023 period. Indonesia was the first country in Southeast Asia elected as an external auditor at the IMO. As many as 27 soldiers of the Marine Infantry Brigade 2 in East Java will soon depart for Lebanon to join the Mechanical Battalion Task Force of the Indonesian Military's Garuda Contingent TNI Konga 23 and UNIFIL and Force Protection Company FPC Task Force. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Commander of the Marine Infantry Brigade, Colonel Agus Gunawan Wibisono explained on Monday that the 27 soldiers led by 2nd Lieutenant Assistant Erdi Herdiansyah will join the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon UNIFIL, with 26 of them joining the Mechanical Battalion Task Force of the TNI Konga 22 and UNIFIL, and one joining the FPC Task Force. While dispatching the soldiers at the Marine Infantry Brigade 2 Command Station in Sidoarjo, East Java, the contingent hopes that all the soldiers will perform their duties with a sense of responsibility and always maintain the good image of the Indonesian Navy Marine Corps. TNI, the nation and the state, since the soldiers assigned abroad serve as envoys of the Indonesian nation. This news comes to you over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The United Nations Day this year raised the theme Indonesian Heritage for Global Peace and Sustainable Development. Culture is an important part of the Sustainable Development Goals in the UN agenda. This was said by Director and Representative of UNESCO Regional Science Bureau for Asia and Pacific, Sabas Khan, in his opening remark on the United Nations Day, which was held at the Indonesian National Library on Monday, December 2, 2019.
And once it becomes heritage, tangible or intangible, it's not the heritage only for Indonesia, it's a heritage for all countries in the world. So Indonesia's heritage gets recognized by all nations. There is more tourism, there is a better understanding of the values of the Indonesian people, and very importantly, the leadership of Indonesia leading way forward, like it's the largest economy within ASEAN, and it's a very important country for the whole of the world, and world needs peace and sustainable development. So Indonesia can give examples of sustainable development and peace through UNESCO sites here in Indonesia. So it's very important for all of us.
Sabas Khan added that once giving acknowledgement from UNESCO, a culture is automatically will become the world heritage that can be accessed not only by Indonesian people. The Indonesian leadership can give a model of sustainable development and peace through UNESCO. During 2019, tourists of Malaysian nationality dominated the number of foreign visitors arriving in Indonesia, with 2.58 million or constituting 18.94% of the total number of visitors. As quoted by Antara News Agency, according to data revealed by head of the Central Statistics Agency BPS, Suharyanto in Jakarta on Monday, tourists from the ASEAN region constituted the highest number of visitors with a rise of 17.78%. However, the Asian region in general witnessed a major drop of 10.28%, and in the meantime, 1.77 million tourists, or 13.1% from China, had visited Indonesia in 2019, followed by 1.55 million tourists from Singapore and 1.15 million from Australia. The room occupancy rate for star-rated hotels in Indonesia in October 2019 had decreased 2.7% as compared to October last year, from 58.84% to 56.77%. In the meantime, head of the Central Statistics Agency BPS Suharyanto noted that the room occupancy rate in October had increased by 3.25% than that of September. The United Arab Emirates UAE Ambassador to Indonesia, Muhammad Abdullah Al-Ghafeli, reaffirmed that deep bilateral relations between his country and Indonesia had been built under the principles of cooperation and mutual respect. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Abdullah Al-Ghafeli stated that at a function marking the 48th UAE National Day in Jakarta on Monday, explained that the historical visit by His Excellency Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi and Vice Commander of the UAE Armed Forces to Indonesia in July 2019, served as a milestone in the bilateral relations between the two countries. He pointed out that the visit has strongly prompted both nations to develop their cooperation into a strategic partnership. During the historical visit, 12 cooperation agreements were inked between both nations, in addition to various investment agreements valued at $9 billion. And the last item, Vice Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives Mohaimin Iskandar will serve as one of the keynote speakers at the United Nations Climate Change Conference, UNCCC, COP25, held in Madrid, Spain, starting from Monday, December the 2nd. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Iskandar will deliver a speech titled Collaborative Climate Action, Legislative and Executive Continuous Supports. At the Indonesian Pavilion Forum, which is part of a series of UNCCC COP25 activities, he noted in a written statement made available on Monday. The Indonesian Pavilion Forum will bring together hundreds of participants from the Indonesian delegation and observers from several countries participating in the UNCCC COP25. The series of UNCCC COP25 activities to last for 11 days from December 2 to 13, 2019 will involve delegations from 197 nations. The event highlights comprised panel discussions and negotiation sessions involving all participating nations, including Indonesia. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President vows to fulfill the rights of people with disabilities. As a member of International Maritime Organization IMO Council, Indonesia can voice the interests of other countries. And listeners, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is International Disability Day. Well, listener, on December 3rd, the world commemorates International Disability Day. Since 1992, International Disability has been commemorated throughout the world. The theme of this year's commemoration is promoting the participation of persons with disabilities and their leadership, taking action on the 2030 Development Agenda. The theme focuses on empowering people with disabilities for inclusive, equitable, and sustainable development, as reflected in the Agenda 2030 for Sustainable Development. The agenda promised not to leave anyone behind and acknowledge disability as a cross-cutting issue to be considered in the application of 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Indonesia also commemorates International Disability Day every year. Director General of Disease Prevention and Control at the Minister of Health, Anun Sugiantono, said that the government carries the national themed Indonesia Inclusion Disability Excellence. In the commemoration of International Disability Day on December 3rd. To realize the themed, Anun revealed various efforts that are being made. One of them is the preparation and the launch of an inclusive health service system roadmap for persons with disabilities 2020-2024 in a bid to realize an accessible, comprehensive, affordable, quality and dignified health system and service. There is a tendency for progress in the empowerment of persons with disabilities in Indonesia, where this country has passed law number 8 2016 on people with disabilities. The existing law, which is supported by Indonesian activists with disabilities, refers to the principles based on the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. This convention recognizes that persons with disabilities have the same rights as members of other communities. Therefore, the central government needs to intensify inclusive progress, as you say, inclusive programs for persons with disabilities that cover all regions of Indonesia. this responsibility is not only the Minister of Social Affairs and Minister of Health, but also multi-sectoral stakeholders. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, I'll begin with December the 3rd, 1945, heroic taking over of Gedung Sate in the city of Bandung, West Java. After Indonesia declared independence on August the 17th, 1945, the youths and freedom fighters took over Gedung Sate building in Bandung from Japan. The youths from the public works and transportation sector made it a base as the headquarters of freedom fighters together with the fight for independence troops. But the arrival of Allied troops in November 1945 has made Gedung Sate as a base for struggle in the city of Bandung. From the battle on December 3, 1945, 21 youths were killed and 7 were missing. 7 years after the incident, the skeleton of the 7 missing youths were found around the building. Gedung Sate, located on Jalan Diponegoro, Bandung, has finally become an icon of the city of Bandung as the governor's office. The day of the attack on December the 3rd, 1945, was made Public Service Day. I'll turn to December 3, 1984, the Bhopal tragedy. The Bhopal tragedy or Bhopal disaster was an industrial accident that occurred on December 3, 1984 in Bhopal, India. The leak of poisonous gas from the United States Union Carbide chemical plant in Bhopal killed more than 20,000 people. This tragedy in the Indian state of Madhya Pradesh is the worst industrial accident in history. This tragedy has also adversely affected the environment for more than 30 years. I'll end today in history with December the 3rd, 1992, which is first celebrated as International Day of Persons with Disabilities. International Disability Day is an international commemoration sponsored by the United Nations since 1992 and is celebrated every December the 3rd. It aims to raise public awareness of the problems that occur relating to the lives of people with disabilities and provide support to improve the dignity, rights, and welfare of the people with disabilities. Well, that was Today in History. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Seandainya aku punya sayap terbang, terbanglah aku. Ku cari dunia yang lain. Untuk apa di sini? Seandainya dapat kau rasakan kejamnya dunia, tiada lagi keadilan. Untuk apa ku di sini? terbang, terbanglah aku.
There was a song entitled Seandainya Aku Punya Sayap, sung by Geisha. You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesian today is strengthening the capacity of Indonesian civil components at the UN peacekeeping mission. Acting Director General of America and Europe at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ambassador Teuku Fasisha, when opening the International Seminar on Civilian Capacities Building National Roster for UN Peacekeeping Operation in Jakarta, November 29, 2019, mentioned the major role of the civil component in the UN peacekeeping mission. As reported by kemlu.go.id, Teuku Fasisha said that the component must be maintained to face the challenges of peace issues in the future. The civil component can strengthen the mission of maintaining peace through support for institutional development efforts and protection of civilians in conflict areas. In addition, Ambassador Teuku explained that the role of a civil component is very significant in certain situations which cannot be handled by military peacekeeping forces. The civil component provides a civil capacity building in a post-conflict peacekeeping mission, which can be focused on issues such as women's empowerment, respect for human rights, and support for law enforcement by local governments. Indonesia put forward three key points to realize the peace maintenance mission that is efficient and in accordance with the current UN needs. First, the civil component must be an important part of a country's peacekeeping mission. Second, there must be an increase in the role of women. And the third point is strengthening training through global partnerships. The promotion of role of women in the peacekeeping mission is a crucial point because women play a key role in the conflict prevention, conflict management, and post-conflict peace maintenance. Meanwhile, increasing the role of women can also have a positive impact on other women who are in the mix of conflict. Therefore, according to Teuku Fasisha, women's empowerment on a peace mission is a must. This supports gender inclusiveness and equality. Indonesia has raised cooperation related to civil capacity building with various parties such as the establishment of ASEAN Institute for Peace and Reconciliation and the ASEAN Women for Peace Registry. We think ASEAN framework and regional consultation related to the strengthening civil capacity through collaboration with Norway. The collaboration emphasizes Indonesian seriousness in contributing to increasing the capacity of the civil component in the mission of maintaining world peace. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Bagaikan air yang membeku, masih terbaca ragu di matamu. Haruskah aku berikrar tuh yang keseribu kali? Aku cinta padamu. Ku ulangi dari mulut.
cinta padamu kasih. Sesungguhnya tak salah bila kau tanya, begitu banyaknya wanita yang telah menggoda, tetapi setia kini aku bertahan. Masihkah kau tak mengerti? Masihkah kau tak percaya?
Song entitled Aku Cinta Padamu or I Love You, sung by Eros Chokro. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, I present a typical culinary of Gresik, East Java, called Kelan Sembilang. Traveling to Gresik, East Java, I suggest you to taste various traditional culinary. Due to the Regency directly borders with Java Sea to the north, there are various kinds of Gresik typical seafoods. One of them is Kelan Sembilang. The food uses sembilang fish as the main raw material. Sembilang is a kind of sea fish which looks like catfish. Sembilang fish also has stinging pile, black and slippery skin. If it is processed rightly and cooked with selected spices, the Kelan Sembilang can be one of your favorite foods. Kelan Sembilang, or also called Kelok Kuning by Gresik people, is made from sembilang fish, which is cooked by using turmeric and candle nut, and also typical spices ingredients of coastal people for processing materials. As substitution coconut milk, it is used fat of fish to get its savory taste. Because the culinary uses turmeric, its sauce has yellow color. When being eaten, the taste of the food is sour and spicy. Moreover, chewy texture of the fish, it makes the food is delectable to eat with warm rice. There are many stalls which sell the typical culinary of Gresik, especially on Dandles Highway. In the afternoon, the food has been sold out. One portion of Klan Sembilang is only 20,000 rupiah, while a special dish of Sembilang Head is 25,000 to 45,000 rupiah per portion, depending on the size of the fish head. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Klan Sembilang Culinary from Gresik, East Java. Thank you for listening.
Semua kebaikan untuk sesama.
Berbagilah, bagikan semua kebaikan untuk sesama. Dan berhentilah buang-buang waktumu percuma. Berbagilah, bagikan semua.
Just listen to the song entitled Jangan Tunggu Lama-Lama, sung by ABC Project. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is memberi kabar, or in English, giving news. Following, I will give you an example of a conversation on memberi kabar, or in English, giving news. As usual, I will say each sentence slowly twice. You may follow after me. The conversation happens on the plane between Tony, who comes from England, and Heru, who is in Yogyakarta. Let's listen to the conversation below. Heru, hello, Tony. Hello, Heru, apa kabar? Baik, kamu? Aku juga baik. Oh ya, aku sudah tiba di Jogja tadi siang. Oh ya? Ya. Selamat datang di Jogja. Kamu menginap di mana? Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to today's topic. I will say two times and you may follow after me. Apa kabar? Apa kabar? In English, how are you? Kabar baik, in English, fine. Juga, juga, also. Menginap, menginap, to stay overnight. Di mana, where? Kamu menginap di mana, where do you stay? Aku, I. Hotel. Following are examples of commonly used conversation for asking each other's news. Hi, apa kabar? In English, hi, how are you? Baik, kamu? Baik, kamu? Fine, and you? Aku juga baik. Aku juga baik. I'm fine too. You can also answer according to your condition. For example, halo, apa kabar? Halo, apa kabar? Hello, how are you? Saya sedikit pusing. I have a slight headache. In the previous conversation, Tony always used the word saya, but when talking to his friend, Tony used aku. For more details, let's listen to the above conversation once again. Hello. In English, hello. Hello, Heru, apa kabar? Hello, Heru, how are you? Baik, kamu? Baik, kamu? Fine, and you? Aku juga baik, I'm fine too. Oh iya, aku sudah tiba di Jogja tadi siang. Oh yes, I arrived in Jogja this afternoon. Oh ya? Oh ya? In English, really? Yeah. Yes. Selamat datang di Jogja. Welcome to Jogja. Kamu menginap di mana? Where do you stay? Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara. I stay at Mutiara Hotel. In the Indonesian language, the first person singular is pronounced saya or aku. When you talk to someone you respect, such as older person, someone you just know, or when you speak in a formal situation, use the word saya. But when you speak to friends, you can use the word aku, but also saya. For the second person's pronoun or the person you talk to, the word used is anda and kamu. Anda is usually used for formal situation or in letters, whereas the word kamu is only used with friends or with small children. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language, this time with the topic giving the news. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia also hold a quiz with interesting prizes. The question is, specify what your name is, from which country you are from, and what your address is. Please answer the questions by submitting your greetings first and send your voice recording to our email address at voi@voinews.id. For example, selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Alamat saya Jalan Merdeka Barat, Jakarta Pusat, Indonesia. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Cintaimu.
There was a song entitled Benci Untuk Mencinta, sung by Endang Sukamti. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled Seringgit Dua Kupang, which will be sung by Ahmad Sauri and Pipi Handayani. The song Seringgit Dua Kupang consists of verses of poem. Its lyrics are sung repeatedly and alternately by Ahmad Sauri and Pipi Handayani. The song tells about advices of life with fast tempo, so the song can invite us to dance. Uniquely, notation of the song is sung repeatedly so that the tone is easily to be remembered. Let's listen to the song Seringgit Dua Kupang, sung by Ahmad Sauri and Pipi Handayani. Enjoy the song.
Jadikan umpan, anaklah udang jadikan umpan.
Bujang dandara ikut menari, bujang dandara ikut menari.
Terpaut kasih dalam senyuman. Terpaut kasih dalam senyuman.
Sungai Deli jernih airnya. Sungai Deli jernih airnya.
Bermacam ragam ikan berenang. Bermacam ragam ikan berenang.
Senangnya hati bukan mainnya. Senangnya hati bukan mainnya.
Bibir tersenyum tampak mengembang. Bibir tersenyum tampak mengembang. Putra Kelantan, mencuri hati putra Kelantan.
Bersenda gurau atas beranda. Bersenda gurau atas beranda.
Bertegur sapa sangatlah sopan. Bertegur sapa sangatlah sopan.
Voice of Indonesia.
mencoba untuk membalas semua pesan singkatku, padahal itu menyenangkanku. Di sini aku menantimu bersama waktu yang membunuhku, tapi kau tak pernah menyambutku. Kamu begitu indah, begitu cantik, begitu istimewa. Mungkinkah kamu jadi milikku selalu, karena ku tak istimewa.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.